Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. You know, Dad, people have been raising children since the dawn of time, since Cain and Abel. You'd think we'd have it figured out by now in the formula for the perfect child. But I can't help but notice you've never written a book called Three Easy Steps to a Flawless Kid.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that, Ryan? Mm-hmm. I'd sell a kabillion books.
Yeah.
But we can't do that because children are so different. And for that matter, their parents are flawed, too. So we do the best we can, and then we turn to reliable sources, including truths in the scripture that can direct us on many, many issues. It's really interesting to me that some of the Bible was written 4,000 years ago and it's still applicable today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one source you can count on.
Well, it's important to remember because there is so much bad information out there. We have to make sure that we don't start to believe it and try to implement that bad information. So if you read something about parenting or marriage and it just doesn't seem quite right, you have got to find someone you trust also who has the credentials to back up their advice.
Well, Dr. Meeker is one such source. She's been practicing medicine for more than 20 years. Her husband is also a physician. He's a pediatrician and an internist, and they have a joint private practice in Traverse City, Michigan. That's in northern Michigan, and she will be flying here to Colorado Springs to do broadcast and participate in other ways. The Meekers have been married for 31 years, and they have four grown children and now a grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Meeker has also written six books on parenting. One of them that our listeners may want to check out is 10 Habits of Happy Mothers. She came here during the summer to do a broadcast on that subject, and I enjoyed it. And as we announced yesterday, we're so pleased because Dr. Meeker has joined us at Family Talk as our physician in residence and also a member of the broadcast team. So her voice is soon to become very familiar to
listeners. This particular message was given at a gathering of some friends of ours in sunny California. Dr. Meeker did a fantastic job of dispelling some of the modern myths of parenting while drawing our focus back to God. So let's listen into this wonderful message from Dr. Meg Meeker on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
If you look at how kids develop their identity, it fundamentally happens two ways. The first way is that kids read their parents. They read their parents. You know this. If you're a dad and you walk in at the end of the day from home and you have a six-year-old, a five-year-old in your home, and that child immediately looks at you, and that child needs to figure out within about 15 seconds a couple of things. Not because he's interested in you, because he's interested in him, because all kids are about themselves. Whether they're 5 or 15 or 20, and usually, hopefully, around 25, they start to shed that perspective. But that child reads her father or his father because she needs to find out very quickly, is my dad in a good mood? Does my dad see me? Does my dad like what I'm wearing? Is dad happy? Oh, bad mood? Okay, I'm going to leave. We'll try this again later. Why? Because you are the stability for that child's world. And your child reads you all the time. You see, this is very important. The child doesn't want to know, Dad, can you give me this? Or Dad, are you going to cook dinner? Dad, what are you going to do? The child needs to know a couple things all throughout his life, and all throughout her life. And that is, do you like what you see, Dad? Do you like what you see? I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm getting ready to go off to college. Do you like me yet? Dad, am I worth you loving me? Do you love me, Dad? What do you believe about me, Dad? Do you believe I'm smart? Do you believe I'm stupid? Do you think I'm capable? Do you think I'm a bad athlete? You see, kids see right through all of this running around and chasing them after their sports. They don't feel like you believe they're a great athlete because you're standing on the sidelines clapping. They feel a little creepy, to tell you the truth, because they feel that, and I've had kids say this to me, the only way my dad pays attention to anything I'm doing is if I'm on a soccer field. So very many times I tell parents, please don't go to all your kids' soccer games. Because they feel like if they're going to get any attention from you, they need to perform. And now they're stuck on the soccer field. But that's not where kids want to live their lives. Their lives are lived, their identity is shaped, living life next to you, in your kitchen, in your family room, in their bedroom. Why? Because they need to see your face and see your body language to read you, to figure out who they are to you. You see? You know, the great, great irony for all of you dads, you need to know this, is while you, every single dad with a daughter, wants to raise his daughter's self-esteem, and many dads, because they think, problem, my daughter has a low self-esteem, solution, I need to figure out how to do that. Maybe I buy her something, maybe I sign her more piano, maybe I, whatever it is. Well, in a daughter's mind, research says the number one way to boost a girl's self-esteem is by receiving physical affection from her dad. Why? Because of this paradigm. Daughter is reading her dad. Daughter is getting clues from her dad that she's seen. Dad is huge in her eyes. He stoops down, he hugs her. Life is great in a moment, and now she can go off and do what she needs to do. Just like that, her life has changed in a hug, in a minute. It is that simple, because that's God's plan. Because when we fear God, first we put him ahead, then we're spending enough time with our children, we're taking what we know of God, we're turning to our children, and they're reading it in us. And we're literally transferring Jesus to our children that way. The second way kids develop identity formation is by imitating their parents. You know, I've had parents say to me, sometimes it's difficult going to scripture and trying to figure out how to parent. I just wish that there was a gospel on how to discipline a child. I just wish that God would address breastfeeding, or whether we should eat this way, or whether we should eat that way, or whether we should do timeouts, or whether we should spank, or why did he leave out the details? But you know, all of scripture is a parenting text, isn't it? It's written by God our Father to us, his children, and it says, behave like me. That's what the gospels are all about. Behave like me. And then teach your children to behave like you. It's as simple as that. The second way kids develop identity formation is by imitating mom and dad. Now, if you're living in a God-centered paradigm, that can happen. Mom and dad fear God. They focus on God. They pour into God. And then as they parent their kids and give back to their children, everything they give back is filtered through their fear of God, their faith. It doesn't come back empty. God then gives love back to the children. He gives love back to the parents. And everything is beautifully contained in this cushion of God, if you will. It all works. You've got this interaction between mom and God, dad and God, mom and dad, God to mom and dad, and God to the child, you see? And in this schematic, a child can look at mom and dad and see God. In your other schematic, they look at mom and dad, and what do they see? Mom and dad jumping around the kid. It doesn't work. You know this. It doesn't work. Part of who you are is a imitation of what you saw in your mom and dad, what you learned about yourself from mom in your mom and dad, and what you saw them do. And for good or for ill, you reproduced that, didn't you? You became, in part, your mom and dad. So that means if you want to teach your children virtues, or we want to teach parents how to teach their kids virtues, first, it must begin with the fear of God. Then parents must imitate Christ, and then they must reflect that to their children so their children can imitate that back to them. I've seen this work over and over again. And one of the most important virtues I think that children can have, and I wrote this in my father and father-daughter book, is humility. I think humility is the only way we can teach kids how to genuinely love other kids. And humility isn't always what we think it is. It's actually not thinking less of oneself, but thinking more of others. So that kids learn to level the playing field so that they are not superior to others. It's one of the bad things in the child-centered paradigm we teach our kids is that they are above others. Christ never wants us to teach that to our kids. But we teach our kids things like humility by living it in front of them. Many years ago, our daughter was about 6. And I don't want to say that my husband and I practiced together. We have 4 kids. We had a big old Suburban. They did this. I don't want to say that we were living on the crazy train, but we kind of were. And we were very, very busy one night, and I decided for dinner that we were going to have Chinese food because I was too tired to cook. So I, being just a little bit bossy, called up and ordered the Chinese food that I wanted and that everybody wanted, and I asked my husband if he'd go pick it up. And he said, sure. And so I said right before he left, now, my favorite food are the egg rolls. I don't really care about anything else. I want the egg rolls. Mm-hmm. I was tired and I hadn't eaten all day, so make sure whatever you do, you don't forget my egg rolls. Okay. And our 6-year-old daughter decided to trot along with her dad, and off they went to the Chinese restaurant to pick up the food. They were gone quite a while, and they came back. And I took out all the little white containers, and I opened them up, and I dumped them in the pans. I was going to heat it up because I like hot Chinese food. And there was something missing in the order. And it was my egg rolls. Well, I was hungry, and I was tired, and I was annoyed because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. He forgot the egg rolls. So I really started to get a little snarky, and I barked. I said, where are the egg rolls? This is not okay. And being a very gracious and kind man, he didn't bark back. I think he did something like walk out of the room. Just tried to ignore me. I probably would have too. And I was really angry and irritated and frustrated, and I don't know what I was saying, but I was saying something clearly agitated. My little 6-year-old who'd gone with her dad came over to me and kind of pulled me on the side as I was stirring something very quickly over the stove, and she said, Mom, don't be mad. I said, why? She said, because when we were driving home, we went by Bryant Park, and Dad saw a guy rummaging through a trash can, and it was really cold. So Dad pulled the truck into the parking lot, and he took all of the Chinese food over to the man, and he opened it all up, and he said, what would you like? Well, guess what he took? He didn't take it all. He took my egg rolls. Good for him. And we came home, and I was feeling about that high because I'd sort of, snapped at my husband and didn't say anything. And in his gracious manner, he didn't say anything back to me. Years went by, and our kids grew up, and that particular daughter graduated from college. And when she was out of college, she came to us one day and said, Mom and Dad, I think that God would like me to go abroad and teach. Because they learned to serve the poor throughout the years, because he took them on medical mission trips year after year after year, and they came to have a real heart for a lot of the poor, and we said, where? It's good, where? South America, I think. Okay, I thought in my mind, I can do South America, right? And weeks went by, and no opportunity arose, and she got an invitation to go teach in Indonesia. And she came to us, and she started talking to us, and she's about 24 years old, 25 years old, very strong and independent. And she said, I really feel that this is where I'm supposed to be going. I've prayed about this a long time, Mom and Dad, and I think that maybe God wants me to go to Solo, Indonesia, which is all Muslim. So my husband was nodding his head pretty calmly. He's not the worrier in the family. And he said, okay. And I jumped in and I said, I don't think so. God and I need to have a little chat here, right? God doesn't tell you to go somewhere without talking to me first. Right? You see how fast we jump out of the God-centered paradigm, right? And it becomes all about, that's what moms do, is we jump away very fast and we make it about us and our kids and we'll figure it out. And then maybe if it's working right, we'll ask God's opinion. She went to Indonesia for a year and a half, and when she came home, I was a wreck the whole time. I'd love to say I wasn't, but I kind of was. I still worry, even though I love Christ, I just worry. And she came home, and after a year and a half, she told us, which she didn't tell us while she was there, that 2 miles away from the school she was teaching in was one of the terrorist training camps. And they were all anti-American. And so she learned when she was out and about, if anybody came up and talked to her, to speak in an Australian accent because many people thought she was from Australia. And I said to her, aside from the fact that I'm sure glad you didn't tell us that a month into it because I would have been out there and dragged you home. But I said, I want to ask you something, honey. If you could boil your experience down to one thing that you learned while you were over there, what would it be? She said, oh, that's easy, Mom. She said, I learned that God is enough. I learned that God is enough. Now, did my daughter go to Indonesia because her dad gave away egg rolls to a homeless man in a parking lot one night? I don't know. But I'll tell you, it sure brought her closer to serving her Lord. In the next generation of children, we have an enormous challenge ahead of us. I don't know that family talk has ever faced the kind of obstacles that maybe it will face, like it's going to have in the next year, but the work at family talk is more important than ever before in our history, ladies and gentlemen, for our children. Because we need to gently and firmly bring our parents back. In order to bring them forward, we need to take them back to a place where first it is God. First it is the fear of God. And then everything will be added to that. First we have a faith like Abram had. Boy, oh boy. You want to be humbled really quickly, just read about Abraham and how he woke up in the morning and God said, Abraham, today's the day. You're going on a trek today. And up he went, Mount Moriah, with Isaac. And it doesn't say that Isaac gave him much trouble, does it? Probably because with a God-centered family paradigm, Isaac trusted his dad, as sons want to do, and he went along with him. And when the moment came for Abraham to bind his son and put him on the altar, in a really fairly grotesque scene, if you will, as a parent, I will tell you, I don't know that I have that kind of faith. I would love to have that kind of faith, but just being perfectly honest. But in God's mercy, when Abraham turned Isaac over to the God he feared, God's mercy opened the heavens. And the cry came, Abraham, Abraham, no, it's okay. Take him down, Abraham. Was that Jesus crying out from heaven? I don't know. Maybe some of you do. But we know that story really wasn't about parenting, Abraham's parenting and Abraham's fear of his Lord and what he did with Isaac and helping parents to get back to that kind of faith. It was really about our Father, wasn't it? Our Father, whom we are told to fear, who hundreds of years later took his son and put him on the wood altar and on the top of Calvary, because he is who he is, after he put him on the cross, the air was silent. Because for him as the dad, no voice was going to come. That's our God. Fearing that God is where every family must start.
We've been listening to Dr. Meg Meeker on this Family Talk broadcast. What a neat event, Dad. And following this presentation, you came up to interview her.
I did. We don't have time to hear all that, although it was recorded. But in the first program, Dr. Meeker spoke about the crazy train that we're all riding. We're just breathless. And I think we started this program making reference to
That's
that.
Right.
Afterward, I asked Dr. Meeker to tell us how to get off the crazy train, and this was her reply. How in the world do you get off the crazy train? One of my greatest concerns about family life today is the pace at which we run. And everything you're trying to do as a committed Christian parent can be undermined by simply getting on the crazy train. I am convinced that those parents that come home worn out, exhausted, and they're too tired to notice what's going on around them.
Right.
And I am telling you, as a conclusion that I've drawn, that if you are too uninvolved and too exhausted to pay attention, the culture will take your kids to hell.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely will. It's organized for that purpose. That is the driving force of the culture.
You know, first of all, with the idea of the crazy train and how to encourage parents to get off, parents do what they do because they really believe they're serving their kids well by chasing after them, by getting them in organizations, by letting them do this, by giving them iPads, by they literally behind their kids chasing them. And I think that if we teach parents that's really not what your kids want or need from you and give them a different perspective, they will start to be able to give some of that stuff up. For instance, when we talk about the need to simplify, everybody wants to simplify. More than your kids need time on the soccer field or more time in school or more time with their friends, they need more face-to-face time with you because you are it for your kids, particularly this identity formation and reading parents' faces. If you don't have enough time with your parents when they're not exhausted, how is a child going to figure out who they are to their parent? So I encourage parents to take little baby steps. You know, I encourage them to say each child should have one sport per semester, one extracurricular activity, and just start to cut one thing out and another thing out. And I start with that first. The other big, huge problem is going to be electronics, because this is very divisive for families, is electronic gadgetry. Because kids can sit in a room with mom and dad and everybody's just texting and looking at their thing. So I talk about starting with one or two nights a week where you have electronic free time. You know, and I believe that if first we love our Lord, that He will show us day to day ways when we can spend more face-to-face time with our kids. And once you begin to do that, it feels so good they'll want to do more.
Wow, what a phenomenal message. I am thrilled we got to share that with you over the past couple of broadcasts. And this message from Dr. Meg Meeker gets to the very heart of Family Talk. We want to help families tackle the problems they face in everyday life. And that's why we do the work to bring a message like this one, which was originally just for a small audience, on the air for everyone to hear. If you'd like to learn more from Dr. Meeker, be sure to look up her blog called The Wisdom of a Pediatrician, The Heart of a Mother. You can find that on our website, drjamesdobson.org. Dr. Meeker regularly provides advice on how to raise your children to have healthy bodies and godly minds. And before we close, I'd like to take a moment to ask our listeners if they would consider donating to Family Talk. With the holidays on the horizon, you may be thinking about what you can do to spread the joy in the community. Partnering financially with Family Talk is one way to help send messages of love and healing out into the world. Because your generosity makes it possible for us to broadcast programs like the one we heard today from Dr. Meeker. You can donate on our website, drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or by calling us 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. 732-6825. Thanks so much for your support. We appreciate each and every gift. And thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to return with us next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. This is Ryan Dobson of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you've never donated to our ministry, now is the perfect time to start, because some amazing friends of ours have pledged to match every year-end gift dollar for dollar. And if you're one of our regular supporters, it's still a great time to take advantage of the matching program and donate towards the fight for the family. You can do so online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk app, our Facebook page, or by calling us 877-732-6825.